Awesome. Thanks, Ted. Y'all doing good tonight? Awesome. Ready to dig into God's Word? All right, good. Well, we're going to do part 19 of I Love Your Ways. Can we just say, God, I love your ways. God, I love your ways. And to know and to love his ways, you have to know what his ways are. So we're just spending this time studying the Bible and finding out what his ways are. And the more we learn about it, I think the more that we love him. Don't you think so? Yes. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about how God redeems our self-esteem. And I know this is kind of a weird topic. And you probably never heard a message like this before. I never preached a message like this before. But in digging into God's ways and this is how it's flowing. So this is, I just take it one week at a time and see what God brings up. And this is our next topic. And let's just read, I mean, you find this word about God's ways like hundreds of times throughout the Bible. Let's just read together what David said in Psalm 25:4. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. One more time. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. I like the way David says, make me. Lord, make me know your ways. I really need it, but I need somebody to make me because this isn't going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen easily. Lord, make me know your ways. Now, this scripture we read last week, so there's going to be a little bit of reminder from last week because we're building on each week as we go through here. But the topic for tonight comes from the third verse in Romans chapter 12. And the first two verses from Romans 12, we focused on those last week in making our body our slave. Remember that we finished up saying, I'll discipline my body and make it my slave. How many remember that from last week? Okay. I will discipline my body and make it my slave. Why don't we just try saying that? I will discipline my body and make it my slave. Again, I will discipline my body and make it my slave. How'd you do this week, making your body your slave? Yeah? Was it following you around saying, what do you want now, master? What can I do for you now, right? Wasn't that a great feeling? Uh-oh, it got real silent. I will discipline my body and make it my slave, right? 1 Corinthians 9:25 through 27. All right. And then we read Romans 12 verses 1 through 3, and I was talking about how we get our bodies to come under subjection to our soul, which is subjected to our spirit, by spending that time with God first thing in the morning, reading our Proverbs, and taking that one proverb, putting it to memory, writing down in our journal, today, Lord, this is what I'm going to be doing, and write down on for that day, this is what my body's going to, and just write a list. Today, this is what I'm going to do. This is what my body today is going to do this, and I'm telling it to do this while I'm in God's presence, and as a result, I am disciplining my body and make it my slave. And that's what I said, how you put into practice what Paul says in Romans 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You've got to present your body. You do that when you're in God's presence, having your daily devotions, there reading your Proverbs, reading it. As you read it, you say, okay, God, this one here really stands out to me today. You get your journal, you write it out, and then you write out the things today. Lord, today I want my body to do this, 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 and this. Right? And you give it its marching orders. Now, that's how you present your body to the Lord, a living sacrifice. Okay, let's read together and aloud. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Okay? We've talked about having your spirit redeemed. Okay, your spiritual service of worship. Once your spirit's redeemed, it's born again, it now needs God's word to feed, right? We said that your body is flesh. It needs carbs, it needs protein, right? It needs fats to live. Your spirit is not flesh. Your spirit to live needs God's word because God's word is spirit and it's life. You don't feed your spirit, it's not going to live. It's not going to lie. You need God's word to feed your spirit. Once your spirit's redeemed, now your spirit is going to want to take your body and present it to God and say, God, this is what I'm going to do with my body today. And if you don't do that, then your body, your mind goes back to the default, which is the flesh, and your body just goes and does and runs around and does whatever it always did or what it thinks it needs to do, but it's not under the direction of your spirit and your renewed soul. Okay, let's read on. And do not be conformed to this world. Okay, so if you're not presenting your body to the Lord in your spiritual service of worship, in your daily devotions, then you are being conformed to the world. You're doing what everybody else does. You get up in the morning, you run out of bed, you grab a coffee, and you run out there and you go to work. You're conforming to the world. You're doing what everybody else does, right? When you do that, you cannot prove what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Right? How do I know that? Well, let's read on. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? So if you want to prove what God's will is, you have to renew your mind to God's word, present your body to God as your spiritual service of worship, give it its marching orders, and next thing you know, you are doing what God wants you to do, and you're going to be proving what God's perfect and good and acceptable will is for your life. Now, verse 3, this is where we get our topic for tonight, together and aloud. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now, when you read that, that follows the first two verses that we just read, okay? So, in Paul's mind, in the Holy Spirit's mind, what he just said there absolutely follows what has been done in presenting your body in the Spirit's realm with your mind renewed. Now, you're going to be able to think about yourself the way you ought to think. Not too highly, not too lowly, but you'll be able to think about yourself the way you ought to think. Why? Because you've been in God's presence with your redeemed spirit, you've renewed your mind to God's word, you've given your body its marching orders, and the result is you'll think about yourself the way that you ought to think about yourself. Not too highly, not too lowly. Now, we're going to spend the rest of the time unpacking that so you know exactly what I believe the Bible means when it says how to think about yourself. When I was in seminary, there was a guy who was a good friend of mine, abused a lot as growing up and stuff, and he hated this verse because he'd always say, "All Paul is telling us to do there is to kick ourselves and to think that we're lowly." And I used to say, "David, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying think about yourself correctly, have sound judgment." Let's read together Romans 6. We saw these verses last week also. Our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Hey, your body's no longer slave to sin, right? Who's your body slave to? Huh? A slave of righteousness. Okay. When we say, "I discipline my body and make it my slave," right? Paul said, "I will discipline my body and make it my slave." There's no longer a slave to sin. Whose slave is it? It's your spirit's slave. It's your mind's slave. It's your slave to do with it what you want. Remember, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Right? Body, you don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Most people live their life with their body telling them what to do. Right? You're hungry, you're thirsty, you want sex, you want this, you want that. Go do this, go do that, right? We're running around obeying our body. The Bible says, uh-uh. Your body should be your slave. You tell it what to do. Okay, we've crucified our flesh. We're no longer slaves to sin now. For he who has died is freed from sin, okay? We saw from this verse, we talked about going into the baptismal tank and being buried with Jesus Christ. And I just want you to understand, you know, somebody was asking me tonight, "Rick, did you say it? You have to be baptized to be saved?" No, I'm not saying you have to be baptized to be saved. We're talking about if you want the Bible results, you do what the Bible says. Peter, they said, "What should we do to be saved?" Right? He said, "Well, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit." right? And so if you want Bible results, you do what the Bible says. I'm not the judge of anybody who goes to heaven, right? But if you want the Bible results, you do what the Bible says, okay? We'll be talking a little bit about marksmanship later. If you want to hit the bullseye, you find somebody who knows how to hit bullseyes, and you say, hey, what do I do to hit the bullseye? Right, Al? And then he tells you how to hit the bullseye. What do? You do what he says to do. That's how you do it. So I'm not going to follow religious traditions. I'm going to follow the Bible. The Bible tells me how to hit the bullseye. I'm going to follow the Bible. All right? Okay. It says, even so, together, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. When you consider yourself, you're talking about your self-image, your self-talk, your self-esteem. Consider yourself dead to sin. In your self-talk, in your self-image, in your self-esteem, you should consider yourself dead to sin. I don't sin. Why would I sin? I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. I don't let my body do whatever it wants to do. I tell it what to do. Consider. So how you think about yourself is a part of your self-esteem. Now, okay, we just talked about this, so I don't have to talk about this again. All right. The main reason Christians do not have daily devotions, the main reason they do not spend time with the Lord, you might think it, oh, they're just too busy, they're blah, 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 blah. No. The main reason Christians do not have daily devotions is because they have a low self-esteem. They do not think of themselves as they ought to think, as with sound judgment. And I'm going to spend the rest, probably the next 45 minutes, proving this to you. But remember I talked about getting in God's presence, reading the Proverbs so you know what righteousness is, what God's ways are, writing it down, writing down what you're going to do with your body this day, write down what its marching orders are, make your list, okay? We're talking. Everybody say the word list. List. Okay? Because they say, oh, I don't need a list. Yes. Everybody needs a list. Okay? Why? Well, we talked about the mind, the conscious, the subconscious. We talked all about that. Practice makes perfect. But the thing is, we don't think we're important enough that we need to spend the time to tell our body what to do. How many of you want to get on an airplane where the pilot gets in there and he just has no checklist, he doesn't know, and he says, well, I think we'll be good today. I'll fly from the seat of my pants. You ever hear that? I'll fly from the seat of my pants. Right? And if you could talk to the pilot, wouldn't the first question you say, do you have your list to make sure that you know what to do? How to get this plane off the ground, how to land us again? How many of you had a surgery? Do you know that the nurse is a matter of life and death? You're in a struggle with the devil for your soul. Paul says, I will disown my body and make it my slave, lest having preached to others, I myself will be disqualified. We're not talking about just, you know, well, maybe it's important, maybe it's not. We're talking about life and death stuff here. And the reason that people don't spend the time and give their body their list, give their body its list of things that you're going to do today, because I'm not going to follow my lust. I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. I know what God has called me to do. I know what my goals are. I know what I'm trying to do. And so, body, this is what you're going to do to get me further down that road. I'm not going to be drugged down some other path to go down some rabbit trail that somebody else has some plans or agenda for me, including the devil. I've got my list, and I believe it's an important enough thing for my life and what God's called me to do to give my body its marching orders, to make it a list. And then my mind, which is set on the Spirit, right, will instruct my body to get busy and make those things happen. And as a result, you'll find out that because you've written those goals down and you've written that list down, that your body will begin to do those things, but at the same time, you'll become aware of opportunities, situations, things that you would have otherwise been oblivious to, that now you're saying, oh, wow, look at that. God's bringing that into my lap. God's making that happen. Whoa, look at that. I didn't even know that one. That's all part of you first spending that time with God and God working stuff out for you. All right. God redeems your self-esteem by teaching you how to profit, spirit, soul, and body, right? A little bit of... True self-esteem comes from actually practicing righteousness. Anytime I use the word righteousness, I'm saying those are God's ways as opposed to man's ways. God's ways are always righteousness. Let's read together Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. I love that phrase. I love it. Who teaches you to... Everybody say, my God teaches me how to profit. My God teaches me how to profit. Isn't that a great thing to know? That God wants you to... Isn't that a great thing, Mark? Aren't you glad that my God teaches me how to be a failure and how to lose money? Right? I mean, we'd be like, nah, I don't think so. Right? No. From day one, the Bible says God will teach you how to profit. We're talking about how to profit spirit, soul, and body. We're talking about how to profit in your self-esteem. All right? So he will lead you in the way you should go. So I'm talking about how will he lead me in the way that I should go. It always comes back to that first time in the morning, daily devotions, read your proverb, get out your journal, make your list. God, what should I do today? God, what are my goals for today? What are my goals for this week? What are my goals for this month? Lord, what do you want me to do? In God's presence, that's how you find out what God's will is. You ask him. It's not complicated. You ask him. Did you ever take the time to say, hey, God, what do you want me to do this week? Well, what do you mean? Yeah. What am I going to do? Is he going to, like, shout from... the way it comes to me is I have my pen and my pencil, and the first thing that comes, I just start writing. And sure enough, there it all comes. Why? Because it's the spirit and the soul. That's how it works. That's how God teaches you the way you should go. Okay, why our self-esteem must be redeemed. Remember, we've been saying that redemption, to be redeemed, it means to have value restored, right? Okay, I'm going to get a little technical here in the next few minutes. Hang with me here. Okay, our self-esteem is the most valuable thing that you have. You will fight tooth and nail for people to think well of you. I'll tell you what, I see Nancy sitting there on the back row. One thing that I absolutely love and admire about Nancy, if I ever say anything that in any way makes her feel belittled or in any way put her down, she stands up for herself and she corrects me right away. I love that. Amen. You better believe it. You know, why? Because the biggest need that we have is to be respected, to be loved, to understand that we are valued by other people. And so when you have a healthy self-esteem, what happens is that you have hope, you have purpose, and you have validation that you can take up space on planet Earth. That the air you're breathing is not wasted. Think about it. Now, this is the reason why Satan works to spoil our self-esteem. Right? We'll see in a minute how he did it with Adam and Eve. But he tries to steal it. It's the first casualty of sin. Every time we miss the bulls, I'll say it in a minute. The word sin, I mean, I can find it right away. I'm going to keep referring back to this anyway, so I might as well go there. Boy, it's way down there. Okay, the word for sin is the Greek word amartia, right? How many of you here are shooters? Come on. You like to shoot? Yeah. There's a whole bunch of us in here, right? Right. The reason I like shooting is because there are a few things that make the spirit, the soul, and the mind make the body come into subjection like that. And the reason that I first got into this back when I was in seminary, and I studied this word, amartia, and it literally is an archer's term, and it means to miss the bullseye. The word sin means to miss the bullseye. Isn't that pretty cool? And then you can follow that all through there, but the thing about missing the bullseye is that you got to have a bullseye to shoot at. Right? And so the one thing that Satan tries to do is try to change the bullseye. It's called, in competition, it's called cross-firing. You shoot somebody else's target. Right? That's why the second step in your mental program is correct target. Right, Al? Correct target. Don't shoot somebody else's target. Right. Okay, but where was I going with this? Oh, you know, a shooter, when you shoot and you walk up to your target and you got holes all over the place and nothing near the bullseye, how do you feel? You feel terrible. How's your self-esteem? It's in the toilet, right? You know, man, am I a lousy shooter? I can't believe I shot so bad, right? And you say, you know, you can beat yourself up. But what was the problem? The problem was your body was not obeying your mind. Somehow there was a disconnect between your mind and your body. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, right? Now, I'm going to be telling you tonight that the Bible solution to healthy self-esteem is to do God's ways over and over and over again. When you focus on the bullseye, you know what the bullseye is? You shoot and you train yourself to shoot the bullseye, and you keep hitting the bullseye, you start feeling pretty good about yourself, and that is biblical self-esteem. The Proverbs calls it righteousness. The Bible says you are righteous. The Proverbs says you are righteous when you do God's ways. Now, I have listed there, okay, my spirit's redeemed. My spirit feeds on bullseyes. What is the bullseye? The bullseye is God's word. The bullseye is what God's word says to do. I feed on it. My spirit feeds on it. My soul, my mind needs to be renewed to it, taught it. It needs to memorize it. It needs to understand this is God's way. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I fix my software in there so it thinks that way. Then I'm in my private time and I'm writing down, giving my body the orders it needs to be disciplined and make it my slave to do God's things. And next thing you know, by repetition, over and over and over again, remember, the body learns from repetition. Didn't I say that? The body learns from what you've trained it to do. The body does not do what you want it to do. The body does what you train it to do. Your body's like your children. It doesn't do what you want it to do. They do what you make them do.
Hello. What?
Yeah. So you're training your body right now. You're training it to sit there and listen. Are you training your mind to listen, or are you out doing something else? Who knows? But whatever you do on a regular basis, that's what you're training your body to do. Okay? Now, when you've redeemed your body and disciplined it to make it your slave, you start hitting bullseyes. I can tell you the first time Al got me hitting bullseyes, I thought I was walking on water. Al walks up and everybody, wave your hand, Al. I want you to know Al is like the best pistol shooter in the world. Nationally ranked, anyway. Anyway, he walks up to me and says, well, that's not too horrible. But he took a picture of it, and I knew it wasn't bad. Okay. But when you start hitting bullseyes, all of a sudden, from success, my self-esteem all of a sudden went from, I'm such a lousy pistol shot, to, hey, Al took a picture of my target. I must be not bad. Right? Healthy self-esteem comes from success. That's what the Bible teaches. We're going to be talking a minute about arrogance. We're not talking about arrogance, egotism. We're talking about actually doing God's way, doing things God's way. And as a result, your mind understands and knows, I am righteous because I do righteous. I hit bullseyes because I've trained myself to hit bullseyes. And when I miss a bullseye, I don't beat myself up. I think because I got a healthy self-esteem, I say, okay, what's the solution to that? And now having that question, what's the solution to this, opens up a whole world of possibilities, because now my mind is thinking about how can I fix this? What can I do better? As opposed to, oh, I'm a lousy shot, I'm never going to shoot good, I'm never going to... And, you know, so, okay, I got to go back a little bit here. Why are self... This is where we were, right? Yep. Okay. Adam and Eve lost their self-esteem when they listened to Satan and believed his lies. He said, surely you won't die if you disobey God. And they were officially the first failures to live righteously. They were the first people to miss the target. They were the first people to miss the bullseye. They failed to follow God's way, right? Now, respect of others versus respect of self. We have to understand that most of us have been trained to get our sense of self-esteem from what other people think about us, what their opinions are of us. That's a very dangerous slope that you really don't want to play on. Okay? But it's what we do. And so self-talk in your head is always thinking, what, you know? And I fought with this all my life. You know, I preach a sermon, I'm walking back home. Oh man, nobody said it was a good sermon. Oh man, now what? I can't preach, you know? And, you know, and you beat yourself up. And then, you know, right, Jen? You ever do that? Yeah. Oh, nobody except, no, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you have to, you get a grip and you say, well, wait a minute. You got to stop that stupid self-talk. That's just the devil. Right? Who are you living to please here? Did you give it your best? Did you do the best you could? Did you study the best you could? Did you preach your heart out? Did you do everything that you knew to do? Is God pleased? God, are you pleased? Good job, Rick. All right, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Where do you get your self-esteem from? We're trained to think about what other people think. But the Bible says our self-esteem needs to only come from God and from knowing that we've done what he wants us to do. I just want to throw in there a couple little things, a little freebies here. Divorce occurs when one spouse constantly puts down the other and makes them feel bad about themselves. Nobody can live that day in and day out. In fact, if you flip that over, you want to have good relationships, make other people feel good about themselves. I'm not talking about flattery and being dishonest. I'm talking about just being honest with other people about the good things you see in them, how much you appreciate them, how wonderful it is to be married to them, what a great job they did, whatever it might be. Just being honest. By building other people's self-esteem up, you are giving them something that they want more than anything else in the entire world. It's better than if you gave them $1,000, $100,000. You just gave them their future. You gave them hope. You put people down, you put your wife, you put your husband down constantly, that marriage is not going to last. Nobody can live around condemnation and survive. Why? Because we're made to need to have a good self-esteem. So don't be deceived. The bad company corrupts good morals. What that means is don't hang with people who make you feel bad about yourself. You say, what if I'm married to them? Teach them how to make you feel good about yourself. What do you say? You need to, Rick, when you say things like that, you make me feel bad about myself. That's not going to help us have a good marriage. Well, what kind of things should I say then, Nancy? Well, why don't you tell me how much you love me? Why don't you tell me what I've done good today? Why don't you tell, right? Nancy's the greatest teacher in the world. I mean, I am what I am because I've been taught. If I wasn't taught, I would be the most obnoxious, terrible. Amen. I have a great teacher. Same way I'd be a lousy pistol shot if I didn't have Al. He taught me. Right? And if they're unteachable and you've really tried to teach them and you've gone through all the things, you tell them, I'm telling you right now, you cannot survive being married to somebody who is committed to putting you down. It won't work. It won't work. You can't be married to the devil and live in heaven. All right. So the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man simply is I'm worried about what other people think about me as opposed to what does God think about me. And together aloud, better is he who is lightly esteemed by others and has a servant than he who honors himself, egotism, and lacks bread. Okay. Paul said, think about yourself. Don't think about yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think as to have sound judgment. In other words, what this proverb is saying is, it doesn't matter what other people think about you. If you're following God's ways, Proverbs say, you're going to be successful. You're going to be successful. You're following God's ways, you're going to be successful. Other people could be jealous, other people could hate you for it, whatever. Don't worry about other people. You follow God. Right? And don't worry about the braggarts and everybody who's talking about how wonderful they are. Because they're driving, you know, a $50,000 truck and whatever, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not in their, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, they could be pretending that they're rich and have nothing. They could actually have less than nothing and be in debt big time. We don't know. We're not judges. It's just saying it's better to feel better, to not worry about what other people think, but rather just focus on what God knows about you, and you'll be blessed. All right, the danger of friends. All right, here I just want to really quickly say this because I know we're really going time here. Okay, Satan uses our need to be approved and liked by others to destroy our self-esteem. He does this by deceiving the whole world, Revelation 12:9, into believing that unrighteousness is right. We're living in a culture right now that is just pushing down our throat unrighteousness and modeling it as superior morality. It's unbelievable that you have these celebrities and these people bragging about how they're able to take babies that would be born within a week and tear them apart in pieces, and how they're fighting for women's for women's rights, right? You have homosexuals aggressively pushing their agenda, and everybody who would dare say that it's wrong are speaking hate speech, right? They're taking the moral high road when actually they are the immoral people who are doing the wrong. Okay, so Satan is deceiving the whole world, and that's what Revelation 12:9 says: in the last days he will deceive the whole world. But meanwhile, you've got all these people who are saying yes, and they're slavering all over the, you know, and agreeing with all this, and now the pressure's on you to be accepted at the office, to be accepted by your family, to be accepted by the people, and the pressure's on you to want to be approved by other people. And so once you make that step, Proverbs says, you know, that once the righteous compromises his values, his spring becomes muddied. You get that picture? A muddy spring? You don't want to drink out of a muddy spring, right? Your moral values just becomes muddy, right? Because you've compromised. Once you compromise what your soul knows is right, you've begun the downward spiral of a lost, fallen self-esteem. Okay? Yes, I believe that the entire world, if they are not following God's ways, are suffering from a fallen self-esteem, because they know down deep inside what they're saying is right is wrong, and they will not admit it. They believe a lie. They keep saying the lie until, okay, this is what happened to Adam and Eve, right? Adam didn't want his wife to be mad at him, so he said, okay, we'll eat the apple. Look where that got us, right? He wanted to be approved by his wife, and next thing you know, he traded his self-esteem for her approval. Man's way to deal with lost self-esteem. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You can look around our world, and you can see people trying to make up for the lost self-esteem. Most of it comes down to arrogance, egotism, and false pride. Arrogance, egotism, and false pride. When I was first went into seminary, this is back in 1976, I guess. It was a big book. It hit the web, bestseller. I'm okay, you're okay. And had to read it in psychology class in college, and it was the biggest fad. You know, this was going to heal everybody's guilt complexes. And of course, it was a major attack on Christianity, because the thesis of the book was, well, Christianity has just made people feel guilty all their lives. And now that we know that Christianity is not true, that we've all evolved from slime, we can put that away. And I can say that, hey, no matter what you do, you're okay. No matter what I do, I'm okay. We're all okay, because there is no accountability. Right? Nobody's right or wrong. Well, isn't that a great way to feel about yourself? No matter what you do, you're okay. See, that's one way to build up your self-esteem, isn't it? Don't feel bad about yourself. Nothing you do is wrong. It's all okay. Everybody gets a prize. Everybody gets the trophy. Everybody gets first prize. It doesn't matter if you hit the bullseye or if you didn't miss the whole target. You get the prize, too. I'm okay. You're okay. Right? Accept the lie from Satan and redefine good as evil and evil as good. Makes them misses the bullseye. It'd be like, you know, we were shooting there. We woke up to the target, and I got them sprayed all over the place. I sprayed and prayed, they say, right? Spray and pray. And I woke up there, and Al says, oh, man, I got everyone in the bullseye. What? I'm not seeing what you're saying. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's good. Isn't that stupid? That's what our culture is doing to every person in this room and in our whole world. They're saying it doesn't matter. There is no bullseye. And then, of course, there's egotism, arrogance, and false pride, the celebrity culture, approval of peers, the herd mindset. I look at the Oscars. Now, I never watch them, but I always got to flip through them and look at the idiocy of the whole thing. And I say, here are all these people prancing about, you know, men dressed in dresses and all the, you know, and telling themselves how wonderful they are and how great they are and how bad everybody else is, and we hate mega country and all this garbage, you know, there's all this stuff. They're building themselves up these wonderful people, right? And I'm thinking, this is how Sodom and Gomorrah was. I mean, Lot was the only guy who didn't think everybody else was wrong in having homosexual relations. And they came to his house and said, if you don't let us have sex with your guests here, well, then we're going to burn your house down and kill you. I mean, the whole city, the mayor, everybody. Guess I'm going off a little bit there. Mind-altering, mood-altering drugs. Every time you have a society who is entrenched in this low self-esteem, but they're trying to boost it through lies, they will try to dull the pain with drugs and alcohol. It'll be a major problem. You've got to somehow dull the pain of not being worth the space you're taking up on the earth. They say, well, why do you say that? Because your soul is condemning you, because you're living a lie, because you're living your life unrighteously. Here's something I want you to think about. Much of Christian teaching seeks to convince people they should feel good about themselves despite their constant failure to live God's way. But that's okay in a little bit. It's a constant source of frustration. Hey, I've been in the ministry now almost 40 years. People are frustrated because they've been taught it really doesn't matter what you do. You're okay. You're righteous. And you know something? There's a half-truth. You are positionally righteous, but if you're not practically righteous in practice, I can tell you right now, your self-esteem will be down the tubes because you know that you're failing to live up to your potential of what God called you to do. And it doesn't matter how much we try to convince you. It doesn't matter how much you get prayed over. It doesn't matter how much people tell you, no, you're a wonderful person. No. The truth of the matter is, unless you get a grip and start living life God's way, you will not have a healthy, redeemed self-esteem. It's as simple as that. The same way, I will not have a good self-esteem about shooting pistols if I don't hit any bullseyes. You got to hit the bullseye. Say, well, why do you say that, Rick? I'm a failure. I can never hit the bullseye. Baloney. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, gave you the Holy Spirit, gave you the Bible, has given you grace so that you can hit the bullseye. The whole thing is about making you a success. It's not about helping you feel good about being a failure. It's about helping you be a success. Amen. Right, Doc? Okay, so it's just a Christian adaptation to I'm okay, you're okay. Baloney, it's garbage. The truth is, I'm telling you how to be a success. I'm telling you how to live life God's way, and you can do it by God's grace. And then you'll have a healthy self-esteem. The world's way is believe a lie until you believe it's true, right? Oh, we already did this, right? So we can pass over this. Redeemed self-esteem comes from hitting bullseyes, successfully living righteously. Let's read together some of my favorite proverbs. You ready? Together and aloud. He who neglects discipline despises himself. Poverty and shame come to him who neglects discipline. But I discipline my body and make it my slave. We haven't heard that before, have we? Again, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. Frank Coach Lee said, egotism, right, is the anesthetic that dulls the pain of stupidity. What's that? 1 Corinthians 9, 25-27? That's the one to memorize. That'll change your life. All right. This was a one from last week, and I'm not going to go over it again. But again, it just goes over this whole program of getting in God's presence, getting their Bible open, reading the proverb, with your spirit reborn, now you're reprogramming your mind to what God's word says are his ways. You're giving your body its marching orders by writing down your list of what it's going to do today. And as a result of being in God's presence, you notice your heart desires. You could write down there Psalm 37:4. Your heart desires, which is your emotions, are now, because emotions is what moves you. Remember that? Your emotion, you got to get your emotions working for you, because if you don't, emotions is what moves you. Right? That's your heart. That's a part of your soul. I have up there bow hunting 2007. Now, we'll take a little bit of time. In 2007, I weighed 210 pounds. I love bow hunting, right? And I got my first bow when I was 5. I got my first bow license when I was 12. 1964, can you believe it? Had a bow license ever since. Went out 12 years old with a little bear cub looking for deer. but, you know, in 2007, I don't know, do the math, how old was I there? 55, I guess? 55, yeah. And 210 pounds, and I could barely get up in the trees anymore. And you got to go up 20, 30 feet if you're going to be a successful bow hunter. Right? And I'm like, man alive, am I going to have to give up bow hunting? And then I was all achy and sick, and I'm like, man alive. I went through this major upheaval, you know, because one of the desires of my heart, I love to hunt. I love to bow hunt. There's just nothing like it. And I was going to have to give it up because I physically couldn't do it anymore. And so I'm like, and so I'm in my prayer time and I'm praying, God, you know, what am I going to do here? And just like that, I heard, well, if you can't climb trees and you're 210 pounds, then lose weight. I'm like, but Lord, I tried that. And that's when, like I have up there, when your heart desire gets used by your spirit, I wrote down in my journal, I am going to continue to bow hunt, and I'm going to become physically fit, and I'm going to be successful at bow hunting the rest of my life. Right? And once I wrote that down as a desire of my heart, my heart then began to move, and my mind began to work, and make my body begin to do the things. And I did all this research, and I found all these different things to do. And you might think, you know, you might think bicycling is like my favorite thing. No, no. I started bicycling so I could lose weight to bow hunt. Right? Now, how did I find out about bicycling? Well, yeah, I've always bicycled, but in my mind's taking me to fulfill this goal, I did all this research, and with all the situations, I found that bicycling was going to be my key to becoming healthy again so I could continue to bow hunt. Now, and I'd have to say that since 2007, you know, and it took me about a year and a half to lose the weight, but since then, my bow hunting actually got a whole lot better. I mean, a whole lot better. And here's what I want to say. My self-esteem got better too. I no longer saw myself as an old fat guy who couldn't get up in trees and bow hunt anymore. That's offensive to say that, isn't it? Think about it. I either had to sit on the couch and accept the fact I'm 55, I'm overweight, I'm never going to get healthy again, or I write down in my journal something that my body said, I can never do, you'll never do this. Right? Now, this is what I'm saying, and this is why I believe people suffer from low self-esteem. Because true self-esteem, like respect and trust, is earned by doing the right things over a considerable amount of time. People who have affairs and commit adultery, and they come back and say, oh, I'm so sorry, honey, please forgive me. Well, okay, I forgive you, but how am I going to trust you? Right? Well, I'll tell you how they're going to trust you. It's going to take about 5 years of you doing everything you possibly can to make them feel happy and joyful, and you giving your life sacrificially to make their life better, till they begin to trust you again. You have to start doing the right things over a long period of time, and you get trust restored. That's how it works. In fact, of the matter is, anything that you have that you did not earn, you feel guilty for having it. Think about it. And the same is true of your self-esteem. You want to feel good about your self-esteem, you have to have earned it. You earn it by doing the right things. You earn it by living God's way. Let's read Romans 12:3 one more time. For through the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you, to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Not to think. I've missed a not there, didn't I? I say to everyone among you to think, to not think, not think. That's a major mistake right there. I hardly ever make mistakes. In fact, this might be my first one ever. That I know, what'd you say? That I caught, right? Nancy's got a list. Okay, Hal Daily Devotions redeems your self-esteem. Read the proverb of the day, pray, and journal. That feeds your and nourishes your redeemed spirit that feeds on righteousness, God's word. It restores and fixes your redeemed soul so that it knows and wants what is truly righteous. Your renewed mind tells your body what to do that day, that is righteous activity, to attain your goals, and righteous actions produced a redeemed self-esteem. Do you see how it flows? Yes? No? Have I lost you? Reading the proverb, and here's, when you read the Proverbs of the day on a regular basis, you're going to find this word righteous like over and over and over and over again. And if, as you read that, you're going to come to believe that you actually are righteous. Now think about that. I'd be willing to say, maybe I shouldn't say it because you guys are all special because you're here tonight, but most Christians, when I ask them, do you view yourself as righteous? They say, no, I'm a sinner. I fail all the time. And I look at them and I say, you're not reading your Proverbs every day, are you? Because otherwise, you would know that you're a righteous person. You're a righteous person because God made you righteous in Christ Jesus. You're a righteous person because you do righteous things. You're a righteous person because your spirit's been redeemed, your soul's been renewed, your body's your slave, and you're hitting the bullseye because you're living God's way. You're righteous. Well, what about if I make a mistake? Well, of course you're going to miss the bullseye sometimes. What do? You say, hey, I missed the bullseye. Okay, how can I fix that now? At least you're shooting for the bullseye. Oh, there it is right there. Missed bullseye. At least you're shooting at the right target. Do you realize that most people aren't even shooting at a bullseye? When missed, the redeemed self-esteem asks, well, what's the solution to this miss? Right? Right, Al? Are you flinching? Well, we're going to put some empties in there to see what happens when you pull a trigger on an empty. Right? Oh, here we go. The question provides an upward lift and leads the mind to possibilities that will lead to a more successful future. You understand that? I had this up there last week. Everybody talk about it much, but one of the things I think that because I talk about myself pretty much, and the reason for that is because I believe that God told me that I'm supposed to study His Word, apply it, and tell people how it works in my life, and that's how I've lived my whole life. But many people look at that as arrogant, as prideful. You can understand why, right? I mean, I'm up here telling you that I hit bullseyes when I pistol shoot. Like, well, who do you think you are, right? Or, well, my bow hunting really got good. Like, well, now you're a big braggart, right? Well, and it could go right down the list of all these things, you know. Like I talked about my health a little bit last week and how in 2012 I thought I was going to have to retire because I was so sick. And I couldn't function, you know. Again, right down in my journal, God, I feel like I am so sick. I don't know what's going on. I ache. I have brain fog. I just am miserable all the time. I can't preach this way, Lord. If you want me to keep preaching, you're going to have to heal me. Right? And And I wrote it down in my journal. Why? It's the desire of my heart. It's what my redeemed spirit wanted. The desire of my heart was to get better. It wasn't to quit preaching. It was to get better. And sure enough, having written it down, your mind goes to work to find the solutions. When the right situations start appearing, you start taking advantage of them, you know, go on a paleo diet, start, you know, doing all these different things, read this book, start putting all this stuff together, and next thing you know, here I am, the Energizer Bunny, going at it again, right? So, you know, it just, and it's not arrogance. I believe it's a healthy, redeemed self-esteem because I have found out that God's ways work. And I'm just trying to share with you, how do you make God's ways work? How do you, you know, and I'm sorry if I offend you because I talk about the successes that God's brought in my life. You know, I don't mean to brag, but I'm going to brag on God, and I'm going to say God has done it all. I give it all glory and honor to him, but he is an amazing God. And there's nothing you cannot do if you allow him to work in your life and refuse to accept what the world says and conform to what the world does. On presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive or dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Presenting your body as an instrument of righteousness. God's word says when you use your body like an instrument to play the right notes, that's God's ways, you will consider yourself within your body as an instrument. And I can play it skillfully. Now we're going to watch that skillfully.